Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Drunk women solving crime. Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Hello, Edinburgh! Woo! Are we well?
Yeah!
Oh, fantastic. I can tell what a cheerful... Oh, look, I look at you in the wings, so I decided to come on. Don't you come out yet. Don't you come out yet. And then he ran away. Hello, hello. I need to sit down, and I will sit down, but anyone here who wears jumpsuits... You know what's about to happen, don't you? Because jumpsuits were only made for standing up. And ooh, it looks good. Look at my waist. Look at my waist. And then... Bread, cheese, wine. It's the Holy Trinity. It's almost a religious experience. I'm very proud of my gut, and I will display it for you. Well, the eagle-eyed among you who listen will notice there's been a bit of a lineup change. Yes? So normally we would have Hannah George sitting right here, and I need to tell you what has happened to our poor Hannah, who is 6 months pregnant. She's fine. She's fine. But she tested positive for COVID yesterday. I know. So the poor thing had been rushed home. She is in the arms of her lovely husband, and he is spoiling her now. And through some stroke of luck, because believe me, we were having panic attacks. We were wondering what to do. And it just so happens that we have the most capable replacement we could have possibly gotten. She's from a special branch. We'll put it that way. She's been on the show before, so she's got detective experience. She's got drinking experiences. And she's actually from the Olivier Award-winning Showstopper the Musical. You may recognize her from some TV shows as well. Man Down, People Just Do Nothing. It's the fantastic Ruth Bratt.
It's Ruth Bratt!
Let's show her love.
Yay. Guys.
Ruth, how are you?
I'm very well.
Good,
I'm very well. I saw, I think... probably the most Edinburgh thing today.
And ooh,
I didn't tell you it earlier because I was like, oh, this is a good one.
Ooh.
I was walking past, you know, on I think it's on Clark Street, Armstrong's, you know, the vintage shop.
Yes.
And there was a very drunk, very happy man standing in front of it going, it's the past! It's the past! And laughing at every passerby.
Oh, my God. Holy
wow.
Shit.
It's the past!
It's the past.
Do you think they hire him just to be like, I could go for some vintage clothing right about now?
Oh, he's right. That is the past, but it could be my future.
That really is the most Edinburgh
thing
I've ever heard.
Oh, he was so happy.
Beautiful.
He was thrilled.
And I'm happy for him.
Me too.
I hope I meet him.
Yeah.
Let's all try to run into him at some point. Yeah, I'm sure he's there 24 hours a day. And then, of course, as usual, we are joined by the lovely Katie Wilkins.
Hello. Hi, it's me. I'm good. I'm good. Well, actually, so my kids came up. I've been up here for 6 days without my kids. Very sad. And they came up, and I was like so excited to show. I was like, look, kids, look how showbiz my life is. Look at the venue. Look, this is my earlier, obviously, when you weren't here. Look, this is the venue I do my show in. I thought they'd be impressed by the razzle dazzle of show business, but they're still sad that I left them for 6 days. So outside, my daughter was really upset, and she said, why can't you get just like a normal job? Why can't you just be like a cleaner while I'm at school? So I haven't impressed them yet.
Oh, hashtag feminism. We're doing can't you live a life of drudgery for me? Bless her. Don't worry. She will be impressed by you. She just won't ever show it.
Yeah.
That's the fun of having kids. I mean, I'm a mother as well, and I've been here for 6 days, but I'm fine. I really miss my dogs. That's all I'm going to say. So without further ado, shall I bring on our fantastic guest? Some of you might know when you listen to the podcast, we usually have a female guest, but once a year, we give men a chance to do comedy because they deserve a platform, don't they? It's been too long. Their voices just aren't heard. No, he is fantastic. We've all been to see his show, and he's so, so funny. Please welcome comedian Christopher Hall.
Yay!
Hello!
Hello. I don't know why I did that weird, like, cartoon shuffle on. Sorry. I do know how to walk.
Welcome.
Because it was just the right thing to do, Chris.
It
was the right thing to do. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, fantastic.
I'm very excited to be here.
Oh, good. We're so excited to have you. Look how you coordinate so well with Ruth.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're like a newscasting duo.
Yes. And we all got the white trainer memo.
Animal print.
Well, listen, Chris, we always kick off the podcast by asking our guests the same question. That question is, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Yeah, I have. I did have to cast my mind back quite a way, because, I mean, I'm quite lucky that it hasn't happened in recent memory, but...
Damn!
I was once punched in the face.
Oh!
Oh, yeah, I know. But there was a few layers that kind of made it kind of... The incident kind of had a trickle effect on my life for a few weeks afterwards.
Yeah.
So when we were like 15, 16, I'm going to be like completely honest about this. I mean, not that it's like super dastardly, but whatever. So when we were 15, 16, we like used to go out drinking in town, like in secret, and we'd all stay at my friend... I'm going to name them. We all stayed at my friend Mark's house, right? Because Mark's mum used to just like let us go into town and come back, like not like in the middle of the night, but like 11,
so
12, whatever.
Mark had
she was a cool mum. Yeah, come on.
Was that yours? Or I always had to find another mum that would do that.
Yeah.
But you find that mum.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, you do.
Yeah, Mark's mum. Love. Thanks, Christine. Oh, you're an absolute hero. And so we were out in town and having a great time, bought a bottle of wine, whatever, running around. And then suddenly I was with my friend, and then another friend, Mark.
Yeah.
Son of cool mum. Just came running back to us. We're on this big, like, open green space in the middle of the night. And he was like, run. And then he turned around and ran away.
Oh,
and then suddenly this big group of boys, like, set upon me and my friend.
No.
And I was, like, pushed the floor and, like, kicked a bit. But I was like, no, fine. Anyway.
Boys will be boys.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? It's all good fun. I just wasn't really in on it. But, yeah. don't worry about it. And I must have gotten like a little buff to the lip, right? Anyway, went home and I was like, everyone was like, are you okay? Like, oh, this has been terrible. And I was like, oh my God.
So you all wound up back at Mark's
house? All back at
you
Mark's
house.
You were
the only one who had been assaulted in your group?
Yes, assaulted. Oh. Yes, assaulted.
Yes?
Assaulted, right?
It really is officially an assault.
It was an assault. And everyone was like, are you okay? That was awful. Like, oh, da da da. And I was like, my mum's going to fucking kill me, right? Because she thinks we've been in the whole time. I was like, I'm a little bit more worried about the repercussions of this. Because My mum's going to literally create hell on earth for me because I was out and not where I was supposed to be. So I had to go home and created this, like, mum was like, what on earth happened? Like, I've come back from, like, my best friend's house with a fat lip. And I was like, oh, we were wrestling. She was like, you know, you're doing, like, exams. Like, why are you wrestling? Like, in... And I was like, oh, yeah, sorry, me and Mark were wrestling. It got a bit too far. And, like, the worst thing was, she did buy that for some reason, but the worst thing was I had this fat lip, right? 2 weeks after this, I had a clarinet exam, and I couldn't... And I couldn't take it, because every time I tried to play it, I was like... Sorry, it's a podcast, it's an audio medium. It was like my lip sort of like couldn't hold any tension.
So I couldn't, couldn't play this
clarinet.
See, will no one think of the clarinet
honestly,
players?
Yeah. I hope those boys are happy.
But all this time, you could have been...
I could have been a maestro.
Virtuoso.
Yeah, but I've just had too much trauma from from this one fatal... Well, not fatal. Yeah. One... Oh, to my clarinet career. Yeah, fatal, like, yes.
Wow. Oh, that's the real tragedy.
Yeah, exactly.
Story,
that's the real crime. That's the real crime.
Real crime.
The world was deprived of your music.
Yeah.
I think the world's a better place. A
crime against jazz.
Yeah.
Holy shit. So, did you ever tell your mum the truth?
No.
Never?
No, she might... She might be a listener.
That's it.
Yeah. That's the truth.
Do you think she knew?
I don't know. She ran quite a... I think the word strict is not a bad word to say. Yeah. Quite a strict household.
I'm getting that vibe from you.
Yeah. Quite like a... but I do think she used to, like... I think she did trust me.
Right.
So I think she thought, like, my son's a fucking idiot. He was wrestling at, like, 17, like, in someone's, like, living room.
You picked a really plausible thing.
Yeah, I think she was like, I believe you, but you're an idiot.
Right.
Like, I can't believe I created you, but but I do believe you.
Yeah,
do you know what
I
mean? I think that was the vibe.
Yeah.
And she was really annoyed about the clarinet exam, because that was the
best. That's what I was going to say. I bet that's where the rage came up.
Yeah.
If you hadn't wrestled...
all those years of lessons.
Literally.
And then she signed you up for wrestling.
Exactly. I was like, no, I don't want to do that. Yeah. Oh, see, I was terrible at it.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that we always ask after we, you know, make somebody tell us their traumatic story is to say, if you had the perpetrator here, what would you say to them or do to them?
I'd make them take a clarinet exam. You do it then. But actually, I'd make him or them, wherever they are, however many they were, I'd make them go and tell my mum. And feel her wrath. Yeah.
Oh, very nice. Yeah.
That's
very
good.
It was him all along.
Yeah,
yeah, maybe that. Yeah.
Tell her.
You know, no kids. Theory. It was years ago. Water under the bridge now. Don't worry about it.
Sure. Had no impact.
Yeah. I'm sure they're living a lovely life somewhere.
I like the idea of you setting your scary mum on them. I'm sorry, I'm adding the word scary.
Oh, no, fair. Yeah, I think she'd also say the word scary. Yeah.
I quite like that as, like, something up your sleeve. Like, well, you don't want to mess.
You want to mess me. She comes through.
Because I've got similar vibes for my mum. My mum, I'd be like, when I was 10 or whatever, you know, we're walking along the street with my mum, and, like, a kid in front of us would drop a crisp packet. My mum would pick it up, go, "Excuse me, you dropped this."
Yes,
and, like,
my mum would
just
do that.
Start fights with everybody.
Nice. And so also, they can do the thing where they just look at you and you know, and they do the mum eyes. My mum's mum eyes are unbelievable. She came to see a show once and there were two kids, not hers, just making a noise. And she went up to one of them and she went, "You're ruining this for everyone else."
Wow.
And this kid just sat down.
And they were never seen again.
Wow. But just did the
good
eyes.
Yeah. It takes a village, doesn't it? Well done. Now, how come our generation can't come up with those eyes? Because my eyes have no impact on my kid. Like, what is the secret?
I don't know. It also wasn't that just the eyes. It had to be... So mum's was like a hand on your forearm, the eyes, and a lowered voice.
Yeah.
And that was when I knew it was bad.
You could feel the tension building.
And then it was really bad when the hand on the forearm had pressure and it was a whisper. And that was when you were like, oh no, I have done a bad thing.
Yeah.
Almost through a smile as well.
Yeah.
So no one else can come
just
save you because they think everything's okay.
Yeah.
Just like this. My mum's a head teacher. So.
Oh, my mum's a teacher. Oh my god, so is my mum. It's teachers.
It's teachers. It's an aura.
Terrifying authority figures.
Yeah, there we are.
My mom's just passive aggressive. She's a big fan of the podcast. Everybody say hi, Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
I'm only joking. Anyway, thank you so much for sharing that excellent tale. Are we ready to solve some true crime?
Yeah.
Okay, because I will tell you, I'll give you a little teaser of this case. We do all sorts of different kinds of crimes here, but this one involves extreme wealth, the royal family, and murder.
Oh, my goodness.
Everything.
The murder is more popular than the royal family.
As it should be.
Well, and this is a case that is a proper cold case. This case has never been solved until today.
Yes.
Get ready, no pressure. So listen, the murder took place on an island in 1943. Some of you are going to know this case, I bet. It's weird that it took place on an island because dodgy shit with the royal family never happens on islands. Everything's terribly different now. Your first question is simply, what island do you think it was? I'll give you a hint. It was surrounded by water.
Ooh.
Is it in the Caribbean?
Is it?
I'm going to say, yeah, it's in the Caribbean.
Maybe.
Well, this is technically an island. I'm going to say it was this island, right here, hiding in plain sight.
Technicality, fun stuff.
So you go Caribbean.
I'm going Caribbean. I mean, I'm not going to go any more specific than that, because then I'd have to use geography, and I don't have that.
Mallorca.
Mallorca in the Caribbean.
Yeah. I'll go Australasia.
Okay.
Fiji.
Ooh.
Nice.
Fantastic. All very good guesses. Ruth, you were correct. I was just being a dick. It is in the Caribbean. It was the Bahamas. Which, of course, as we all know, is a collection of several hundred islands and very close to Cuba. So the victim of the crime was an American-born man called Sir Harry Oakes. And Sir Harry Oakes, at this time, was worth $200 million,
How did he get to be a sir if he's American?
Oh, we shall get to that.
Don't you worry. Sorry. I don't think that's allowed, actually.
I love that you spotted that. So, excuse me, there's a title.
See, that's why I'm a detective.
Yeah, that is good detecting skills.
Which may or may not have been earned.
No, she's like that.
Ooh.
We'll see.
But just to say that $200 million back in 1942 is equivalent to an eye-watering $7.5 billion today.
Whoa.
Yeah, if this guy was alive, he'd be taking over Twitter. Yeah. Rebranding it like a sex toy company, I guess. What is going on there? X. Yeah. I have something to say, to share it with the world. I'm going to go, exit. It rhymes with
is
Brexit.
Is it because we're all going to break up with it soon?
There we go. I think so. But this was 80 years ago, so your next question is, how do you think Harry Oakes made his fortune? How does a man stumble into 200 mil?
He was a comedian.
That's where all the money is.
Yeah. So lucrative.
Was it did with something to do with oats? Is his surname Oates? Because
no, it's Oaks. Oh, like Oaks. Trees. Like trees.
I was like, he was an oat millionaire.
Porridge farmer.
I'm just picturing the Quaker Oats man now. He's just like...
He
looks like Mona Lisa, he's a man.
Yeah.
He's just a happy Quaker.
He's got to have made some money.
Yeah.
He's everywhere.
I hope so.
I think he made his money in fishing.
Fishing?
Yeah.
So we've got comedy, fishing, two of the most lucrative jobs I know of. Katie, any advance?
Gold rush.
Gold rush. He owned a gold mine.
Oh.
No. Well done.
Yay.
Well done, Wilkins. He owned a Canadian gold mine.
Sorry. I thought you said comedian gold mine. You were leaning into all the jokes, but you said Canadian, right?
He just bought all the rights to Lenny Bruce's stuff.
Sounds really fake if it's in Canada.
Canadian gold mine. And he was given a British title much later down. You will see, because he was bouncing around with all of the roles. So was it earned? I don't know what it takes to become a sir, but I think they gave it to him just because they fucking love rich people.
I thought you had to be born here. Because that's why. What's his name?
Boris Johnson.
Feed the World, not Feed the World.
Bob Geldof.
He's not a real sir.
Is he not?
No, apparently not. Well,
he's a fake sir.
Unless I've imagined all of this.
I hope he doesn't hear this. You just completely dragging his title through the mouth. He's not a real sir. He's there listening, like, I thought I was.
Maybe I've imagined it, but I thought you had to be...
Maybe.
I thought you had to be, like, UK.
I'm not the one to know.
Sounds plausible.
I'm starting this rumour. Yeah. If it's not true before, it's true now.
Yeah, you really should. So he only has, like, a little plastic card that says, sir.
And also... Sir in inverted commas.
Like, and it has the Asda... He's, like, the Asda version of sir.
And everyone listening can go, yeah, I heard it on a podcast.
So it must be true. Yeah. It's the new, I read it in a book. So it must be true. So yes, here is this man. He's very wealthy. Your next question, what do you think drew Harry to the Bahamas? Why did he move there?
Tax.
Of all places. Okay, tax.
Oh, yeah, tax evasion.
It's got to be tax.
That's good.
A lover.
Ooh.
Yes.
Romantic. Yeah. Nice. I like how you think it was tax. Of course it was. Yeah. It was a tax haven. It was a British crown colony. And the governor of the Bahamas just happened to be one of Harry's best friends. And he was a famous member of the royal family who was no stranger to scandal. Ooh. Can you guess who that governor was?
I do know who that was. That was the one that abdicated. I don't know which one, obviously. But it was the one that abdicated with Mrs. Simpson.
Correct.
Oh.
Yeah, that one.
Homer? Yeah, what was that?
So it was the Duke of Windsor, formerly King Edward VIII. Yes, who indeed gave up the throne to marry American socialite Wallis Simpson, which I totally didn't learn for the first time from watching The Crown. I knew that anyway. I learned everything from The Crown. So when they're like, some of this is fictitious, I'm like, well, fuck, it's real to me. This is a documentary, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, 100%. Mm.
So he's here in this tax haven. He's friends with the former king. Just a little fun fact. Edward and Wallace did this 5-year stint running the Bahamas, but they secretly hated the place.
Ooh.
They called it their hot little hell.
Oh, my God.
Happiness is hard when you have everything.
Yeah.
Blimey.
I know.
Did they have aircon back then, though?
No, big fans.
Oh, just huge fans.
Big, huge fans, right? Fun. When was aircon invented? Isn't that a fun question? While I take a sip.
Yeah.
They had fridges, didn't they?
Or did fridges come in like in the... I feel like they're like a 50s invention.
Well, they were... But was it just more accessible in the 50s, or was it only invented in the 50s? Oh. I reckon it existed. Does anyone know when fridges...
Industrial kitchens had fridges.
Yeah.
The best part about this podcast is you get to go fact check us when you leave.
Yeah.
If you'd like to know more, do better research. Just kidding. We're not talking about fridges. We're not.
I am.
That wasn't my expert area. A Bahamian historian had a really scathing takedown of the Bahamas at this time, which I think sums up, so you can just get sort of a picture of what it was like, because all these royals and wealthy people just come in, they take over the island, which isn't like the English at all. This historian described it as a seething cauldron of Nazi sympathizers, British spies, money launderers, narcotics traffickers, gambling monsters, land swindlers, murderers, and assassins.
Ruth looks really excited.
It is sunny though, isn't it? Yeah, but it's hot. Like,
yeah. I can get a tan.
Come on.
Right?
You can't
have beach and stuff. Like, what do you want? Come on.
You can't have everything.
they're really minimizing its strong suits here, I think. Can you imagine that as the tourism brochure, though? Just like a list.
Yeah.
Assassins, Nazi sympathizers. Want some Nazi sympathizers, but also a little sun? Come to the Bahamas. So it's crazy time, and there's crazy people with dodgy connections. So back to Harry. By the time he had relocated here, he was married to a woman called Eunice, and you'll be glad that she features very little in this story. because women, history, etc. They had five grown-up children. Your next question is, was Harry known as a likable guy?
No.
Okay. We have a strong no from Detective Chris.
Does it depend to whom?
Oh,
because
yeah.
obviously to us, probably not, but to the Nazi sympathisers and the assassins.
Yeah, that's a good
maybe
point.
They were like, he's a stand-up guy.
Yes, it depends who you're asking.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody must like him.
Isn't the term Nazi sympathizer horrible?
Yeah.
In and of itself. Like, well, I'm not a Nazi myself. I just like them. I just really understand them. No, you're a Nazi.
Yeah.
Yeah, why do they even bother with sympathize?
I don't know. Just it just Nazi. Softens. It softens the blow when you're the royal family. Yeah.
They can both sides it.
I mean, look, that's a good question. But actually, from what I had read, this is kind of... Other than his really close friends, it's sort of the general opinion about him.
Oh, yeah. a shit.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Any difference there, Katie? Do you think he was
no,
a love bug?
No, I mean, there's a few red flags, isn't there?
She's calling it. Something's not right.
I don't want to profile a millionaire that lives in a tax haven, but I think he might have some flaws.
Yeah.
So, it's strange because we always start on Wikipedia because we're professionals, just like the real detectives. And it's weird because if you read his Wikipedia page, he's described as a great guy and he was this great philanthropist. But if you read anything else by real historians, he was apparently not likable, and he was work and money obsessed. He didn't make friends very easily. He didn't like to have fun. just didn't like fun.
I just don't like fun. Ugh, boring.
He's like one of those people on a dating website who's like, don't tell me you like to have a good time because we all do. I don't like having fun, so don't tell me you do. Like, all right.
What, he thinks he's better than fun.
Yeah.
I'm above it. Ugh, do you have fun? Do you need that?
Brooding, misunderstood, fuck
brooding,
off.
Misunderstood, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Doesn't like to have fun, didn't like to drink, no judgment. It's fine. It's with all the other qualities that makes that a problem, though, isn't it? Because he probably could have used a gin and tonic. But yeah, basically, once he had built his fortune, because this is the time of, Rockefeller and Carnegie were building these social enterprises, they wanted to at least make it look like they wanted to make a difference, right? They sunk a lot of money into social causes, and this guy's like, I want to keep as much of it as I can. Yeah. I'm moving to the Bahamas. So I'm just...
And have no fun.
And have no fun. I know.
Yeah, I'm not even doing anything good with it.
Moving to an island and not enjoying myself.
Just like sat under a sun lounge like, this is rubbish.
Bring me a Mai Tai.
But I won't drink.
Yeah, I won't like it.
It's Sir, by the way. I don't know how he got it. I wasn't even born. So he winds up here. He starts buying lots of land and property. He's pulling a Trump. He's spending time golfing with the former king and also his best mate, who was a real estate developer called Harold Christie. Question. Was Harold Christie in town the night of the murder? Yeah, we're getting right into it now.
I'm going to say yes. I want him to be a suspect.
Okay. All right.
I think he said he wasn't, but there's a question mark.
Ooh.
And he might have been.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to say he wasn't, okay. But that was very out of character because he was always in the Bahamas. So the fact that he wasn't there was actually more suspicious.
Yes,
where were you?
Oh my God.
Where were you then?
That's great.
Chris, now you're thinking like a killer. Yay!
I know.
This poison doesn't kick in for 48 hours. See ya. Sinister. Very sinister. Yeah. I like it. With the big grin on your face. Yeah. Yeah. He was there. In fact, I'm sorry. Do you know what? But everybody gets praise, whether they're right or wrong on this podcast. Yes. It's just our vibe.
Yeah.
Female workplace. It's just the vibe.
Drunk women solving crime.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So Harry had actually thrown a dinner party the night before he was murdered, and Harold Christie was not only in attendance, he spent the night at Harry's house. And I will mention that his wife Eunice was away in the U.S. at this time. I'm not suggesting anything. I'm just throwing out the facts. Just throwing out the facts.
No fun was had.
Huh. Between Harry and Harold. Mm. What an adorable name for a couple, though. Harry and Harold.
Harry and Harold.
They sound like a couple of, like, who live next door in Brighton. Next door, Harry and Harold.
I live in Brighton. Those are literally my neighbors. Yeah. Not really. Harry apparently had a favorite child, and it was his daughter, Nancy, who was described as a lively redhead. We just love how women get described in history. It's sort of like, tell us how she looked, and was she fun?
Yeah, you're a hair color and a vibe.
Yes, please. Lively redhead. But it should be said, as we're sort of collecting our suspects, aren't we? We're building a profile of this case as we go. Harry and his wife Eunice did not approve of Nancy's choice of husband.
Oh.
Why didn't they like this husband? What was wrong with him?
He was a comedian.
Yeah.
Genuinely problematic.
Yeah. Was he not wealthy? He was not wealthy.
Yeah, good guess.
Or he just didn't like the whole tax evasion thing. He was like, Nancy, we're going to go and, you know, move to sort of the States and, like, you set up like a humanitarian small business, you know, maybe something on Etsy, and sort of give all the money to...
And pay tax properly.
Yeah.
Be good citizens.
Yeah,
that's
good.
He was
good. Too woke.
Yeah, he was
too woke. I think he was just, like, really irritating and he really overused air quotes.
Yeah. He was fun.
He listened to the gramophone too loud.
So all fantastic answers. They're all brilliant. So he did come from money, and he came from old money. He was a count. Count Alfred de Merigny. And he was basically a player. That's why they didn't like him. So he'd been married twice. He was twice divorced. He was a womanizer. He named his yacht the Concubine.
Oh.
He was just embarrassing.
No. Oh, that's, I don't think any of us got, like
that's,
him.
That's given us the ick.
It's a bit, he was a big ick. I mean, I could go off on him and his history.
Isn't it funny how horrible people also hate horrible people?
I see something of myself in you, and I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Quite. So these two men had been in conflict for over 2 years. It was a very bitter conflict. Before you settle on a suspect, the Oakes family, as we mentioned, they were very cozy with a lot of Nazi sympathizers, and there's... you know, varying speculation about how involved Wallace was. There's a lot of rumors that she just had really direct links with the Nazis and was funding them and accepting all sorts of stuff.
Ew.
So Nazi jewelry or something. I don't know. I love your necklace. Where is it from? The Nazis. Thank you. So yeah, dodgy shit going on, but they're also involved in a lot of business deals, including the building of some casinos across the Bahamas by an American gangster called Meyer Lansky. So an American gangster comes into play here. Your question is, what was Harry's position on the building of these casinos in the Bahamas? So he has a meeting with the gangster.
His position on the building. There was going to be a big statue of him on the top. Just like
he wanted himself.
Yeah.
Okay.
I reckon he was against it. Because horrible people don't like horrible people. And he was like, you're not gambling in my backyard. No fun here.
Okay, no fun here. That was
what jumped out at me. People might find gambling fun.
Mm. Yeah.
And he is anti-fun.
Okay. You sticking with that?
Bahamas has a great big hotel called the Atlantis. now.
Okay.
Big casino, massive water slides, and they're really fun. So he doesn't like it.
So he doesn't.
He had a foresight to think, if we build casinos here, there'll be a water park soon. And
yeah, where will it end?
Nah.
Well, he sort of did the worst thing you can do to piss off the mafia, which is... And I know a lot about that.
Yeah.
I've watched The Sopranos, come on. He initially gave his approval. The plan was in the works. Oh. They had had a meeting, they had shaken hands, and then people said, no, you can't be seen to support this. You know, it's against the moral fiber.
Oh, yeah, but the
fiber.
Nazis are fine.
Right, yeah. The Nazis are fine.
But colonization. Not the mob.
Yeah, so then he blocked Meyer Lansky's
Blocked them.
Plan. Blocked. Blocked and reported.
Block them, babe. Just block them. Toxic. Just block them. Do you know what I mean?
I've actually just muted the mafia. Yeah. Because I might want to go back to what they're saying.
Yeah.
So now...
Block him, babe. Block him. I was trying to build a casino. Block him.
Sorry, do you know what? I literally just started thinking of all your cat videos and like cracking up. Do you know him? Check him out on Instagram. Oh, fucking genius. Fucking his show's genius. He's fucking genius. Okay. Sorry for the language, everyone. I was born this way. Just came out and went, fuck! Where am I? This is a terrible segue because now I have to go sit to the morning of the murder. Which is obviously a very serious thing. So Harry was found. The morning after this dinner party, he'd thrown next question. Who do we think found the body?
Oh, Harold.
Okay. Harold Christie.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't he there? He was there. Harold.
Yeah, and they're like proper best there. Friends. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
They were best friends.
They were best friends and nothing more. Mm. Oh, wait.
They were just wrestling. Yeah. Out of hand.
Clarinetting.
Clarinetting.
Just got a little bit all more than a swollen lip this time.
Yeah. Yeah. Big band.
Big band.
That wasn't a pun at all, sorry.
No, that's fine. That'd you know sad. What, I will tell you, you're correct. It was Harold Christie,
yes.
Which you could say was slightly suspicious just because they had so many servants whose job it was to come in and, you know, open the blinds and sort of wake them up. So it's interesting. I'm just saying. It's interesting that Harold found his body. He immediately alerted the authorities, and I will say what Harold found that morning was that Harry had been bludgeoned to death in his bedroom. There was blood on the walls, obviously not pleasant. It's a crime scene. And it appeared that someone had tried to burn his body. That's not funny, stop it. I know, you weren't laughing at that. I get it. But also, weirdly, his body was covered in feathers from a pillow.
Did they try
Chris,
to...
what? No.
It's a very serious matter.
Do you have a Do you have a feather pillow theory?
No, that just... The image was regrettably quite humorous for me. I apologize.
Because now I'm imagining it like a showgirl.
Yeah, there's a whole... Now there's a big, like, chicken from Disneyland that has done it. Like, I just... please carry on. I apologize.
Oh, I know.
I will be serious.
I get it.
It was very...
We get it. No,
sorry, a big bag of feathers just makes everything funny, doesn't it? Do you remember in The Parent Trap when a big bag of feathers comes down?
Of course, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was always funny. Big bag of feathers. Come on.
No, I get it. I mean, no one saw the feathers coming.
Do they say where the feathers have come from?
It was clearly from one of the pillows in the room, and there was a speculation about, well, was there a struggle? So it was ripped apart.
They'd put the bludgeoning instrument inside the pillow.
Ooh.
Because that way, there's no blood on the bludgeoning instrument, so you can never find the murder weapon.
Yeah.
I've done this before.
When I did it. No.
Yeah. When I bludgeoned.
Yeah.
And then when the maid picks up the pillow, she's like, whoa,
this heavy. Is heavy.
And there's a hole in it.
That's good.
Isn't it? No, I should write crime fiction.
Yeah, brilliant.
Oh, it's so hot right now. Yeah. Get into cozy crime, man. It's where it's at. Look, you're all here and you're like, we don't know why. We don't know why we're popular either. It just happened. We monetized our drinking. You're welcome. So, yes, let's move on from the feathers. Word quickly spreads to the governor, the former King Edward, and he makes a really unusual decision about who should investigate the case. What does he decide?
That he's going to do it?
That his wife's going to do it.
Oh, my God.
She's like the Bahamas Miss Marple.
Detective Wallace here.
At your service.
At your
That's
service.
How I think she talks. At your service.
This is such a terrible scene. I'm going to clutch my Nazi pearls.
Yeah.
There's a nationwide search to find America's next top crime scene investigator.
Oh my God.
And there's some random person from like San Francisco, I don't know, anywhere, just like wins the chance to like discover, I don't know.
You can so picture the cutter was like, yeah. I'm from Wisconsin. Yeah. And, you know, I grew up reading Nancy Drew, so yeah. I'm excited to try to solve this
murder. We need to green light this show.
Yeah.
I would absolutely watch that.
Don't worry, somewhere in the country, Simon Cowell just went ding.
Yeah, it's ours. Simon, it's ours.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, what he decides, and this was hugely controversial, he decides the local police aren't equipped to investigate a murder, so he recruits his own detectives from a city in the United States. Your next question is, what city was it? I'll give you a hint. Think proximity. Sorry, I ask questions that I can never answer. I'm like, come on, geography, let's go.
Miami?
It is Miami. Well done!
Geography.
Welcome to Miami.
Also, I grew up on Miami Vice, so this all went like very Miami Vice. You're all so young. Or you didn't watch Miami Vice because it was shit. It was one or the other. And guess what, guys? It doesn't go all that smoothly because it's not great to recruit detectives in that don't know the landscape. Also, apparently, I assume they did a little slow motion walk into the Bahamas, you know, but they'd forgotten everything. They forgot to bring their fingerprinting equipment. Like, they were hiring them because they had higher tech gear, and they're like, oh, are we supposed to bring that? Oh, sorry.
Wow.
So it was sort of a mess from the beginning. But eventually, they do arrest someone for the murder of Harry Oakes. Who do they arrest?
Nancy.
Oh. I'd forgotten about her.
Can't trust a redhead.
especially if she's lively.
Yes.
What about the concubine count?
Okay.
Concubine.
That was my favourite cereal growing
Nancy's
up.
Nancy's husband.
Yeah.
Nancy's
Nancy husband. And her fella.
Both of them.
Okay, it was the Count. Well done.
Oh,
yes,
good.
Well done. It was Count Alfred de Marigny. There, as we said, there had been conflict for a long time. It goes to trial, and it's a mess of a trial. There's evidence of witness tampering. The prosecution sort of gets called in by the judge, going, oh, you're not playing this very well. So what do you think? Is he found guilty despite this sort of mess of a trial? Does he go down?
What is there witness tampering as in someone's trying to set him up, though?
Yeah.
Oh.
Sorry, I realize I've glossed over that a little bit.
But that comes out during the trial.
Yes, but it's very much covered up. It's really like hush hush, and they sort of keep it like, oh yeah, we made a little mistake, but nobody needs
to. But so is it a
we're all doing our best. It's very hot. It's hard to process.
It's hard to do things when it's
these two
hot.
Keep walking in slow motion. They never get anywhere.
We remembered our sunglasses.
We've been here for days. They haven't done anything.
Was it a jury or a judge?
Jury.
Okay.
It was jury.
So,
jury trial.
But then, so the jury must have... Witness tampering was exposed to the jury.
It was not.
Oh.
This is all... Sorry, it's because so much of this has come out since historians have dug deeper into the case, gone through the court files, you know, so much of this was covered up. And the only reason, I mean, it got a lot of press because it was the most exciting thing other than the war that was raging on at the same time and
well,
in a way.
It was probably a bit of light relief, wasn't
it?
Yeah,
it was a bit of light relief from the war, like just a little murder we can focus on. But it also sort of helped quell what was going on. This is this island where rich people have come in, they've got all the power, it's terribly corrupt, so none of this is running by the book. Right?
So he was definitely found guilty.
Yeah, he's guilty.
As a cover up.
Yeah.
But he didn't do it. Harold did. I'm joking. I got two.
Okay.
I'm going to say maybe he gets off just to be different, but also he's super rich too.
Yeah.
So he can counter with his own corruption.
Yeah. He's got his boat and his car called the Whore. A helicopter called the Slut. He's got it all. I'm going up in the slut.
Oh.
And of course, I'm saying that ironically. There's no such thing as a slut, which is also the name of my sex tape. Okay, so he's actually acquitted of all charges.
Oh,
that's just, yeah. Nancy. Nancy stands by him throughout the entire thing. Well, and no historians really think that he did it. He'd apparently not even set foot in Harry's house for 2 years. It was not a conflict where they got together and went, I hate you and I hate you too. Like, they just didn't speak. They just didn't cross paths. He had an alibi.
Mature.
Yeah. Just a little side fact. Nancy and Alfred go take a little trip to Cuba after all this, because you'd need it. You'd need a little rest. But they happen to hang out with an old pal who just happens to be a famous American novelist. So just for fun, want to guess who the American novelist was?
Hemingway?
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's in Cuba.
Okay.
Is he?
Yeah, well, wait. Hemingway.
Hemingway feels like he'd be in Cuba.
Yeah, I've been to Cuba. And
it's nice you're allowed, Katie. How nice that you're allowed.
You've got two passports. You could go.
I don't. I only have my American passport. Oh. It's so pricey.
Okay, so I don't know why I've gone into details about my assumptions about your passports.
It's titillating entertainment.
But I think there was somewhere that I'm sure I visited. It was like 20 odd years ago. I'm sure I visited like a pub or a cafe that he used to write in.
I'm going to put you out of your misery. It was Hemingway. I'm just letting her sweat it. I'm like, more proof. It's nice to have connections. They were just hanging out with Hemingway. Now, finally, nobody else is ever arrested for Harry's murder. But for decades, obviously, there's been speculation about who might have done it. Historians have, poured through this case. My final question to you is, any theories based on what we've discussed, who do you think was the
Mafia.
Most likely? Mafia?
Yes.
So, okay.
So they just arrested Alfred, he got acquitted, then they went, no worries, we'll just move on.
Yeah.
They didn't look for anyone else.
Kind of.
They just went, that's that.
Huh. That was our only lead, didn't it?
Well, clearly the place to get away
accident.
With murder is in the Bahamas.
Yeah. We tried.
That's really bizarre,
isn't it?
It could be literally anyone. I'm kind of thinking
that's the problem with crime.
Yeah. I'm wondering if the feathers are like a message.
Uh-huh.
Like it's not, it
Ooh,
wasn't just a, dead like in the sound of the bludgeoning.
Like a really light horse's head.
Yeah, like a horse's head, but there weren't any horses because it's the Bahamas and they just have more birds than horses. So they went, well, let's just kill a few birds.
Yeah.
Put some feathers in his bed and everyone will know it's us.
Gotcha.
But no one did.
It's
they were like, we were expecting a horse. They're like, oh.
It feels like a retribution assassination type thing. And then, it's very difficult to prosecute the Mafia. So I'm not surprised no one went down.
Sure is. Any other thoughts on this, Chris, before we close this case?
I think, obviously Harry and Harold were an item, and I think they were having a pillow fight. And this is the real, not the data here. It all just went wrong, and poor Harold panicked. And he was like, oh God, I've got to do something. He sort of maybe did the pillow fight, went too violent. Harry sort of fell off the bed, bumped his head, and then Harold went, I'm going to have to, I'm gonna plunge him some more, absolutely, and I'll sort of set the room on fire, just sort of like, he was upset, wasn't he? He was upset. That was his fella, secret fella, and I just thought I'd destroy everything. Jumped out the window. It was a ground floor room, so it was fine. And then got away with it and lived a whole life of regret and sadness, poor thing.
Oh my God, we are going to be in all the papers for solving this case. I think you pretty much nailed it. Well, the sort of ruling theory is the Mafia, but there is some evidence that Harold Christie might have been involved. In fact, some people have speculated that the body was even moved and that he was killed in a different location.
Ooh.
And asked to meet up with one of Meyer Lansky's people, was killed. There was an eyewitness that apparently saw Harold Christie driving at about 3 a.m., which was a little bit dodgy, and so he may have been responsible for transporting the body and getting it back there. We don't know.
Wow.
But it is a fascinating case, and I guess let's raise our glass to the Bahamas. Yay. Yay. Go visit.
It's lovely.
I think it's nicer now.
Nice holiday.
I think it's a little nicer now.
Fewer sympathizers.
Yeah, yeah. We would like one of you to share a story of the time that you were... Oh, it's the house lights. The house lights are up. Please come and tell us a story about the time that you were the victim of the crime, and we will give... I mean, you've seen how good we are at this shit. We'll give you advice. If nothing else, you get a bottle of Cava. Yes, I love that.
A thousand hands in the air.
Oh my God. Come on up, you. Yay. Give her a round of applause. Hello, hello. Oh, yes, of course there's stairs. We don't expect you to barrel roll.
Hello. It would have been horrific.
Hello. Hello. Thanks so much for coming up. What's your name?
Charlotte.
Hello, Charlotte.
Hi, Charlotte. Hello.
Thanks so much. It's God, we're so much like the real detective. Hi. Oh, my God.
Hello.
Charlotte, tell us your story.
Okay, so it's kind of an almost crime, but I'm pretty sure it's still a crime. Okay. So I used to live in London, and
yep,
I used to work...
That's a crime. Yeah.
Fair. Case closed. And I worked at a bar that closed at like 4 a.m, and I was really quite young, so my brother used to pick me up from work after work so that I got home safe. And we were walking home towards Crossroads.
Oh, what a nice brother.
Isn't he just?
Yeah. That's very sweet.
And he's built like a brick shit house, but he's a total teddy bear.
Love it.
And this guy in a wheelchair wheels up to us at the crossroads and tries to mug us. And he's like, give us all your money. Wow. And we, to be fair, we went, no, we're good. And then he pulled a samurai sword.
Oh, wow. I didn't see that coming.
No.
He pulled a samurai sword out the back of his chair and he went, no, I'm being serious. Give us all your money. And we went, no, we're just going to try and like sidestep you. So he pulls another one out the other side.
Wow.
What? At which point we just kind of went, yeah, we're going to cross the road now. We got to the other side of the road. We got to the corner shop and we watched him get out of his chair and push it round the corner.
Oh, my God. Okay, there's so much to unpack here. There's a Kaiser Soze element.
Yeah.
There's samurai swords. Two of them.
Two of them.
Yeah.
Also, how do you fucking hide two samurai swords?
Very uncomfortable.
Really uncomfortable in that
chair. It's got to be. Yeah.
So we had, like, little, like, sachets is the wrong word, but, like...
Sheaths.
In the back of, like, on the back of his wheelchair. Like, he'd planned for this. We hadn't.
Well, I don't think anyone plans to meet someone with two samurai swords.
Yeah, no. So, if, not every day.
No. So is your sort of conclusion that he was actually able-bodied, he was able to walk around and push it? So I guess I just don't get...
The use of the chair. Two samurai swords are quite threatening... In their own right.
That, I feel like, if anything, would be more powerful if you stood up with the sword.
I feel like...
I'm not trying to be, you know, I just...
You could have mugged me the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like he's trying to do too many bits at once.
He needs a better director.
Yes.
But no, this is confusing.
Yes.
You need to split these two bits up.
Right. Choose your, like, con artist, burglar identity, because this is really
It's too busy.
It's too busy.
Yeah, too busy.
It's too busy.
Too conceptual.
Oh, my goodness.
If it helps, it was North London, so it tracks.
With the samurai.
I mean, it sounds like
community.
A performance artist.
Now I'm wondering that it's not here at the festival.
There's still time.
Yeah. Next year, guys. Yeah, that's my show.
I suspect it's the same person that's in front of Armstrong's going, it's the past. He's moved on to a new show. Okay, well, Charlotte, listen. I think we haven't made it worse. We solved it, but we haven't made it any worse. Thank you so much. What a great story.
Thank you.
Enjoy. Else encountered the wheelchair man with the two samurai swords? I'm just wondering if we can corroborate, because he must have other victims. We need to talk about
this. He only comes out at night.
He only comes out at night.
Maybe that was the first time he tried it, and then he went, you know what? No, that's not going to work.
That didn't work at all.
So just get out of the wheelchair. I'll push that away. Right, tomorrow, skateboard. Yeah. Skateboard tomorrow.
Three swords.
Yeah. I bet he had, like, a really stern mother like you guys, but she's like, this is never going to work, Alan. And he's like, I can do my own thing. You'll see. And he comes home sort of like,
Do you really, Mom?
Give Dad his fake samurai swords back. because they were absolutely fake. Those things are priceless. Anyway, we have just enough time. Oh, my goodness. Chris Hall, tell us what you're up to, and where can people find you if they want to see your stuff on Instagram? What's your handle?
Christopher Hall with an X instead of the I.
Okay. Okay.
And you'll find me, CHRX, and I usually pop up.
Well, you're...
You don't have to remember the rest of it.
I'm a huge fan of yours, and we went to see your show, and it is so good.
Do you think you'll tour it afterwards?
Of course you will.
Yes, hopefully. Hopefully there'll be a little life in London, and then hopefully a tour as well.
Good. So awesome.
Wherever you are, you'll be able to come see it.
You don't sell out a run in Edinburgh and then not tour the show. Come on. Well, once again, for Chris Hall, he's been great.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much to you guys. Thank you so much for coming along. You've been really, really lovely. Thank you so much. Yay!
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and on Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. Also, if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then please write it in that review and we'll solve it. Thank you so much to Acast for hosting us, and thank you for listening.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.